We hebben net een lied gezongen op pagina 46. En ik vond de woorden even zeer prachtig en ook zeer krachtig als er geschreven staat in het tweede couplet: mocht Satans verzoeking ook dreigen mijn ziel, ik wandel aan sterkere hand. Toen ik deze woorden zong, toen dacht ik van wauw, dat is ons leven. Dat is onze kracht. Wij wandelen aan een sterkere hand. En dat is onze. Dat is zo mooi, dat is zo prachtig. Er zijn soms wel eens van die kleine zinnetjes, van die kleine woorden, die zeggen het gewoon helemaal even zo van dit is het. En dat zijn zo van die woorden die we hier ook vinden. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, we come across certain verses that are so full of meaning. One of those verses, at least to me, is also John chapter 1, verse 17. And what does that say? The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. When John begins his gospel, he begins his gospel with an exposition on the person of Jesus Christ. And one after the other, he builds it up as if a snowball comes from the very top of the mountain. It starts very small, but little by little it adds on snow. And once it comes down the mountain, it explodes. And I think that is what we see in that first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, He was in the beginning. And so John unfolds the truth about Jesus Christ. And of course, then in verse 17, he makes that simple but that very deep statement. What did Moses bring? The law. And what did the law do? It condemned everybody because nobody was able to keep the law. But what did Jesus do? Jesus came to bring grace and truth. Now, please understand me when we are saying these words. In our Christian religion, we see on the one hand in the scriptures the challenge, the calling, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And there are many verses like that, that basically convey the same message. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy in the book of Peter. So on the one hand, we have that strong emphasis on that we need to do everything to be perfect. But on the other hand, the Bible also tells us that he who claims to be without sin, and as far as I can understand that passage, he is not talking to unbelievers, he is talking to believers. Because he first says, I write these things that you do not sin. But if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So, being perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, but at the same time, nobody, no Christian is without sin. Why are we saying those things? Sometimes we have those conversations, and even conversations with ourselves. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we battle. Am I good enough? And again, we see the challenge. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, and at the end, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. But then at the same time, when we look at our lives, we try to do what is right. we really go to extremes. We really try to do what Jesus said, to resist unto bloodshed. But at the same time, we come into those conversations that we have with ourselves. We come into those conversations that we have with others, and they struggle. And they say, am I good enough? I failed. This happened and that happened. So sometimes we have those conversations with ourselves and with others. And again, we need to understand those things in the right way, in the correct way. But still, when all comes down to it, we serve a God of grace and truth. And I believe that is so important. Let me read, and if you want to read along, I'm going to read from Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were yet weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that we, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received reconciliation. What a powerful word. What do we see in these verses? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. So when we look at our lives as brothers and sisters, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have been justified by faith. Of course, the word justified is a word that means you have been made right. Justified, legal term. The judge pronounces somebody not guilty. This is what we have here. And how were we justified? By faith. Not by our own works, but simply by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, brothers and sisters, I always like to say this. There is a great difference between Bible study and Bible study. There is a big difference between Bible reading and meditation. Sometimes it is said that so many people have read the Bible even so many times, but do they really know what it says? That's the difference between Bible reading and meditation. And we as believers in God, we are not to be Bible readers. We are to be Bible readers and meditators upon the Word of God. And so when you look at these words, through Him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Believers, they stand in grace. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that is so important. How many brothers and sisters are not battling? They're battling the concept of being perfect over against, they look at their lives and they say, well, it's not always perfect. And we might say with the words of Peter, that he said to Ananias and Sapphira, why has Satan filled your heart? I honestly believe that too many believers, they do not enjoy the true peace that God has given to us, because they are battling so often. And that is so sad. It was about 24 years ago that I became a part of the church. 1994, 26, 27 years ago. And in the churches of Christ, of course, there is a big emphasis on works. Or I'm just phrasing it that way. There's an emphasis on works. And I think that is so good, because that is what the Bible does. The Bible does say grace without, or faith without works is dead. But people, we also need to realize the pitfall. We also need to realize the real truth of the matter. Yes, we are called to holiness. Yes, we are called to perfection. But there is not a single Christian who can ever claim perfection, who can ever claim moral perfection, that we never sin anymore. And I'm afraid sometimes that we allow Satan to enter in, and that we say, we rob ourselves of the true joy that God wants us to enjoy. So when Satan comes to us and say, you failed again, what should our response be? We see too many people that start to wallow in self-pity. They start to wallow in, well, that's just the way it is. I cannot do anything about it. What should our response be? The response should be simple. As Jesus said, it is written. We should say, Satan, I might have failed, that's true. But I stand in God's grace. I stand in the truth. And you don't rob me of my joy. That is what we should say when Satan comes to us. Listen to the words of 1 John. The words of 1 John chapter 1. It says, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, another of those true statements, we lie and do not practice the truth. See, the Bible is simple. If you have fellowship with God, but you practice truth, with the emphasis on practicing, then that is a lie. That is not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So again, we have the two things here. If you claim to walk in the light, but you do not practice the truth, and on the other hand, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from all sin. Balance is often an important word. We see in Scripture grace and truth, faith and works, John 4 in spirit and in truth. Every time we see the two components, and those two components, they are so important and they are so crucial. And again, we need to understand the way these things need to be understood. As it says here, if we say that we have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, we lie and we simply do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And again, what do we say? I believe that when we look at these words, they were written to Christians. They were written to believers. And of course, it does not mean that there is no messages for the unbelievers in those words. But first of all, primarily, these words were written to believers. And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Verse 7. And in verse 9, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, again, when you look at those things and look at your own lives, look at your own thinking, look at your own thinking process, how does it work? So many Christians are battling. Am I good enough? What did I do last week? And what did I do this week again? But what do we see here? Walking in the light has to do with relationship. Walking in the light has everything to do with being cleansed, having been baptized, having been added to the church. Then you are in fellowship with God, and when you are in fellowship with God, then you are also in fellowship with one another, because if other people did the same thing, then you're also in fellowship with one another. And when we look at these words, Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And again, it is so important that we keep that balance. Because when you look at these words, when you listen to those words, it might sound like, well, we're not perfect. So whatever you encounter, God will always forgive and God will always forget. Is that true? In one way, yes. In another way, no. Why yes? Simply because the Bible says so. The Bible says when you do fall sin, when you do fall short, you have an advocate with the Father, and he cleanses you from all sin, from all unrighteousness. At the same time, of course, we read, faith without works is dead. We need to pursue holiness. We need to pursue holiness to the degree that our sweat becomes blood. If I understand Hebrews chapter 4 correctly, that is what is being said in the book of Hebrews. You did not yet resist unto bloodshed. But brothers and sisters, those things have a pitfall. It has the pitfall that some believers, they only look at what they did wrong, and they go and they come into a negative spiral. It's never good enough. It's never good. And they are constantly in a negative spiral. Is that what God wants? And the answer is no. That is not what God wants. God wants us to be the kind of people that say like Jesus, it is written. So again, when we strive to do what is right, when our prayers say, God, help me to do your will, when the constant element in our heart is saying, I want to do what is right, regardless, then we should always be able to say the words, yes, I sinned. That is true. But God says, if you confess those things, I will forgive them. That's the simple truth. And that is, I believe, what makes God, God. God is of a different order. God is of a different nature. Heavenly words are coming to us, not earthly words, when we read the Bible. Listen to Psalms chapter 22, 32, and we're going to close with these words. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, though my groanings all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was dried up as the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What happened to David? He sinned. But what happened? He kept silent. And what happened? His bones wasted away. Though my groanings all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was dried up as the heat of summer. David kept silent. He was groaning all day long, and strength, there was no strength left. But what happened? I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And what happened? And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. That is really as simple as it is sometimes. It's as simple as you go to the doctor and the doctor says, here is your medicine. Take one every morning, take one every night, and in a week's time, it will be gone. But there is always a battle deep within our souls. There is always a battle of, yeah, but I should have been better. I should not have done that. And that is probably correct, or that is correct. We should not sin. But what do we need to do when we sin? Confess your sin. Don't keep silent. Don't keep on groaning, because your strength will dry up. There will be nothing left. And Satan is laughing. Because if Satan cannot keep someone from becoming a Christian, he can definitely keep him a handicapped Christian. and he will laugh. Brothers and sisters, the message is so important. What do we need to do when we sin? We need to confess. And God says, my child, when you've honestly, from the heart, confesses your sin, I will forgive it right away. Amen.